WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Thursday, March 9th, 2017. So honored you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. Yet again, we've got a great show in store for all of you out there as we embrace the madness. That's right, today. Actually, right now, a local team is competing in the Big Ten Men's Basketball Tourney out in Washington, D.C. at the Verizon Center. That's right. What a 24 hours it has been for the Michigan Wolverines. Underway right now against Illinois. We will give you guys an update on that game in just a moment. And, of course, 25 minutes after that one is said and done, the Michigan State men's basketball team will get underway against the Penn State Nittany Lions, which took care of business yesterday. Does Michigan State have work to do in order to make the big dance? We'll chat about that. We will also talk a little bit about the Detroit Lions as the Lions are possibly pondering a move to draft a running back with a troubled history during his college years. We'll talk about that. And we also, crossing my fingers on this one, we also hope to invite Jay Sarkar, weekend sports anchor and reporter for WLNS-TV6. He is currently out in Washington, D.C., covering the tourney hopes of the Michigan Wolverines and the Michigan State Spartans. We hope to get Jay. We hope to pull him away from the game for just a moment to talk about what the atmosphere is like. He will also comment on the incredible, again, 24 hours that has been such an obstacle, such a hurdle for John Beilein's team. So we hope to get Jay around the 1:30 mark. You don't want to miss that yet. And then, of course, later on in the hour, like we do each and every Thursday here on Current Sports, we love to hit you with Throwback Thursday, profiling what exactly took place in the world of sports on this particular date in sports. And you guys know I love to merge sports with pop culture here on Current Sports. And also, unfortunately, on this date back in 1997, we lost a pioneer in the world of music. Yeah, we'll talk about that as well. And also, we'll briefly recap the Detroit Pistons falling on national television to the Indiana Pacers last night. Not a great outing for the red, white, and royal blue. That and so much more. If you want to be a part of the show, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We are currently live streaming the show like we always do each and every weekday at Facebook.com/Current Sports. You can weigh in there by simply leaving a comment, and I will read it live here on our airwaves. Or you can even tweet us at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin WKAR. So as you see, so much to get to, a jam-packed hour of sports talk in store for all of you out there. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. All right, the, of course, Big Ten men's basketball tourney began yesterday at the Verizon Center in Washington, D.C., and we saw 13-seed Penn State top 12-seed Nebraska 76-67, the final of that game. And then, of course, the Nittany Lions will play Michigan State later this afternoon, 25 minutes after 8-seed Michigan and 9-seed Illinois are done. In a quick score update, I have the game live streaming on my laptop right now. And get this, the Wolverines have a 10-point lead over the Fighting Illini. It currently sits at a score of 31-21 in favor of the Wolverines with 4 minutes and 50 seconds left in the first half. Again, I will continue to give you an update on how that game is panning out as the hour continues. We also saw yesterday 14-seed Rutgers top 11-seed Ohio State in the second game last night, 66-57, a shocking outcome there. Rutgers will now play 6-seed Northwestern tonight, the final game of Big Ten action at 9 p.m. And speaking of Michigan, an airplane carrying the Michigan men's basketball team yesterday was involved in an accident yesterday afternoon. No one was injured, thank goodness. The school released that news in a statement. The team's plane, which was headed to the Big Ten tournament out in D.C., was attempting to take off in high winds. You guys know how windy it was yesterday here in Michigan and pretty much the entire state, to be honest with you. So it attempted to take off in high winds at Willow Run Airport in Ypsilanti, Michigan, about 15 miles from campus. The takeoff was aborted, and after braking strongly, the plane slid off of the runway. What a scary moment. Now, the plane sustained extensive damage, according to the statement, but all 109 passengers and 7 crew members evacuated safely. What a story. Now, the team left safely for D.C. this morning at 7:30 a.m. and were not able to, well, excuse me, they were able to make it for tip time, which happened around 12:20 p.m., and in an odd scene right now in Washington with, of course, the craziness, the crazy travel plans, Michigan's jerseys did not make it on the trip. So for those watching the game right now, Michigan is playing Illinois in its practice jerseys. I kid you not. I kid you not. What a scene. Michigan leading right now 33-26 as time dwindles down in that first half. We'll have more on that game in just a minute. Now, before CBS revealed the later half of the NCAA tournament bracket last March, you guys remember that teams already knew their fate. Yes, a leaked version of the four bracket surfaced on Twitter midway through the selection show and spread quickly once it became clear that it was real. Now, to make sure that does not happen again, from their arrival at a New York hotel this week until completion of the 68-team bracket, committee members are instructed to not leave the hotel floor that contains their block of rooms. Meals arrive via room service, and a security guard stands watch at the elevator from morning until night to keep the occasional curious visitor away. Access to the conference room where the bracket is assembled is limited to NCAA employees, and a handful of hotel staffers and CBS camera crew are allowed. Before any outsiders enter, committee members close their computer screens and turn their papers on their tables face down. So, again, as you see, the committee making sure this year, again, the selection show would take place on Sunday, committee members making sure that there is no leak. We'll see if that comes to fruition, okay? All right, moving along here. Two current and two former employees of Michigan State University are named as defendants in an amended complaint filed against former MSU and USA Gymnastics Dr. Larry Nassar. A fifth person affiliated with TwiStar's USA Gymnastics Club is also named. Those current and former employees at Michigan State include Jeffrey Covine, who serves as MSU's Director of Sports Medicine and Performance and head team physician. It also names William Strample, the Dean of Osteopathic Medicine. Former MSU gymnastics coach Kathy Klagas is also named. Klagas retired in February, one day after being suspended by the school. The new filing also names Gary Stolick as a defendant. Now, he is a former professor in the clinical program within the Michigan State University Department. And John Getter, the owner of TwiStar's USA Gymnastics Club, is also named. Wow. All right. It looks like Minnesota's new football coach did, in fact, break an NCAA rule, although it doesn't appear to be a nefarious one, as once believed. According to Joe Christensen of the Minneapolis Star Tribune, Minnesota Athletics Department spokesman Jake Ricker has confirmed that the school plans to self-report a minor NCAA violation involving PJ Fleck's contact with one of his former Western Michigan players. Now, Minnesota AD Mark Coyle told reporter John Shipley of the St. Paul Pioneer Press that he had spoken with the Western Michigan athletic director, Kathy Beauregard, and, quote, reassured her, "We are not recruiting students from Western Michigan," end quote. All right, boys, basketball scores in district action last night. Williamson over Sexton, 71-55. Fowler over Portland St. Patrick, 62-38. Powderville over Springport, 50-46. St. John's over Owosso, 57-44. Cheryl Stockwell over Morris, 56-47. Lansing Christian over Weberville, 63-36. Ionia over Lakewood, 58-37. Hazlitt over Fowlerville, 82-51. Leslie over Eden Rapids, 57-38. East Lansing over Waverly, 57-45. Corunna over Duran, 45-19. And Bath over Dansville, 55-53. The two-game win streak from the Detroit Pistons was snapped last night against the Indiana Pacers on the road, 115-98 the final. Indiana trailed only once all night for a total of 22 seconds and finished with its largest victory margin since a 21-point dub February 4th, which happened to also be against the Pistons. Tobias Harris led the Pistons with 22 points. Stanley Johnson had a season-high 17, and Andre Drummond wound up with 14 points and 15 boards for his 43rd double-dub of the year. The Pistons have now lost five straight in Indy and will now host the defending champion Cleveland Cavaliers tonight at 7:30 p.m. The Detroit Red Wings fell on the road to the Boston Bruins 6-1 at TD Garden. The Wings will now host the Chicago Blackhawks on Friday at 7:30 p.m. And lastly, the Detroit Lions have agreed to terms with free agent linebacker Paul Warrelow. The deal is for 1 year, and he is the second outside player that the Lions have agreed to bring in during the legal tampering period. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Time to start the show.
So thankful that everybody's okay. I mean, look, I know there's concern about when they're coming. I believe they're going to come here tomorrow morning and take a flight, but I honestly don't, you know, care about any of that. I'm just glad that everybody on that flight is okay. They had a ton of people. They had families, they coaches, they had the band, they had the dancers, you know, obviously the team, they had everybody, and that could have been a major, major catastrophe. So, hey, look, they get here, good. I'm just happy that tomorrow I'm going to see my son, and I'm going to get to hug him, and that's all that matters to me.
And that is how we start this Thursday afternoon edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Again, we are so honored you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. And as you just heard, that was the voice of Dan Dockage of ESPN, of course, color analyst in the world of college basketball, addressing the wild day that was for the Michigan men's basketball team. Of course, Dockage has a son that balls out for the Wolverines, his son Andrew, who was on an airplane with his fellow teammates and personnel from the University of Michigan. And that plane was involved in an accident yesterday afternoon, a scary, scary moment. Thank goodness that no one was injured. The team's plane, which was headed to the Big Ten tournament at the Verizon Center out in Washington, D.C., was attempting to take off in very high winds. You guys know how windy it was here in mid-Michigan yesterday. I mean, my goodness. And we joked a bit about it on yesterday's Current Sports. You know, I was sitting at so many four-way stops yesterday and a few today, to be honest with you, as many people here in the state of Michigan are still without power. But you guys know, it was just a crazy, crazy day with the winds yesterday. It looked beautiful outside. I mean, the sun was shining, birds were chirping, the sky was blue. But my goodness, the winds were really real yesterday. So while this plane attempted to take off at Willow Run Airport out in Yipsey, 15 miles from campus. The takeoff was aborted, as I mentioned in our headliners. And after the pilots braked strongly, they lost control of the plane and it slid off the runway. Now, the plane sustained extensive damage. There are multiple pictures that you can check out on social media. But the most important thing is that all 109 passengers and 7 crew members evacuated that plane safely. What a moment. And, of course, with Michigan having game numero uno today, again, that game is underway as the Wolverines have a lead over Illinois, 40-29 at halftime. But having to play game one, what happened was they had to reschedule everything, and Michigan had to schedule a very early flight for today for around 7 a.m. They made it to D.C. safely, got off the plane, and immediately began preparing for the matchup. So first off, mad props to John Beilein and his staff and everyone who coordinated those travel plans for Michigan, because I can only imagine what that is like. I mean, heck, I get nervous just casually traveling here and there. Anytime we take off and land, I mean, once we're in the air and things kind of even out, I'm good. I'm good. But that takeoff period, I must admit, I do get a bit nervous, and I get some butterflies. And then coming down, you know, I just want to make sure those wheels meet the concrete and that everything goes smoothly from there. And then I can take a deep sigh of breath and then I'm good. Right. But hey, we all, I'm sure many of us get a bit nervous during those moments. But when things start to go awry like that, I mean, can you imagine the plane skidding off the runway? I can only imagine what went through the heads of those that were on that plane. And Terry Mills and Matt Shepard, who, of course, do the radio broadcast calls of the Michigan men's basketball team. I listened to them prior to tip-off against Illinois today, and they were on that plane. Actually, Matt Shepard tweeted out a picture of the plane off the runway. But they were on that carrier, and they just talked about those moments and how scary it was and how thankful they were just to walk away from that. And Matt, looking at the glass is half full, he talked about how it was special for him just to have another night at home with his family. And what's so odd from a team perspective here, you know, usually you want to get in town, you want to go through a walkthrough or practice the day before a game. With how crazy the weather was yesterday, it knocked off power out in Ann Arbor. So Michigan, after walking away from that traumatizing event, they decided to practice in Ann Arbor. But get this, they had to do so without power. There was no power where they practiced at. How crazy is that? Lights off, and you're trying to prepare for March Madness. You are trying to prepare for your opening game in the Big Ten tournament out in Washington, D.C. How odd is that? Just so odd. And with all of the travel craziness, again, as I mentioned, Michigan is right now. Apparently, they forgot the uniforms. They don't have any unis. So they had to play this game against the Fighting Illini in their practice uniforms. What a 24 hours it has been, folks. So for Michigan, if you know, I think this just speaks to the type of program that John Beilein has built there. You know, these kids, these young men are showing so much resiliency to put what took place yesterday on the back burner, to not provide any excuses as to why, if they were struggling in this game, as to why they would struggle. I mean, Matt Shepard and Terry Mills talked about this. They have not heard any excuses from the team. And they haven't heard, you know, the word lose at all coming from any of their mouths approaching this game against Illinois. A game, again, in which they lead at the half 40-29. So mad props to John Beilein and company, because I can only imagine what that moment was like. And, you know, what a first day it was for Big Ten men's basketball. Now, as I talked about it in the headliners, Penn State going to overtime in that game to top 12 seed Nebraska, Penn State being the 13 seed, 76-67, the final in that one. The Nittany Lions now awaiting to play the Spartans later this afternoon after the dust settles on this Michigan and Illinois game. And then later on at night, now again, I didn't get a chance to see much of this game. I was actually at the Michigan Association of Broadcasters Award Ceremony last night. And congratulations to all the stations and reporters and, you know, GMs of stations that were present at the Lansing Center last night. That was a really cool event. That was actually my first time attending the MAB Awards in Michigan State. Here at on the campus of Michigan State, WKAR, we took home some hardware last night. Took home some Best in Category awards and Merit awards. So congratulations to our station here and everyone that puts in hard work on a daily basis. But after the award ceremony, I got back in my car to head to my apartment, and I wanted to catch the final moments of that game. I was listening to it on my radio, that Ohio State and Rutgers game, and I couldn't believe what was taking place. Rutgers, the bottom feeder, the laughingstock of the conference, stunning Ohio State last night. I couldn't believe that. You know, it shows you how unpredictable sports are, how unpredictable college basketball is around this time of the year. I actually had my ESPN Streak for Cash rolling at a sizzling hot six straight, right? So I decided to, you know, I looked at, you know, they actually had the Ohio State-Rutgers game as an option last night. I decided to put my streak on the line with Ohio State, thinking that, yeah, Ohio State is going to handle business against Rutgers, right? Oh, boy, was I wrong. So, yeah, my streak got halted at six, so I had to start that thing over and over. So I'm a bit salty about that, I must admit. But get this, with Rutgers winning and topping Ohio State last night, Rutgers has won back-to-back Big Ten games for the first time. A round of applause for Rutgers. That never happens, right? We all know, and it's well documented, the struggles that Rutgers has had since joining the Big Ten Conference. But get this, Rutgers sits at 15-17 now on the year, having already doubled its win total after going 7-25 in the final season under Eddie Jordan. And we all know Steve Peichel is the guy now, first-year head coach of Rutgers, trying to change the culture there, doing a great job, I must say, in his first year. You know, hey, Rome wasn't built in a day. They've had struggles this season. Again, still last place in the Big Ten, but we've seen improvements, especially when looking at last night, topping the Ohio State Buckeyes. And, you know, I read an article that documented Steve Peichel and how he went about preparing his team for that matchup against Ohio State last night. He actually wrote on the whiteboard, new season before yesterday's game. New season, new life. And hey, Rutgers played like it, putting all of the regular season woes in the rearview mirror and coming out with a lot of moxie against the Buckeyes. Nigel Johnson scored 21 points. Rutgers out-rebounded Ohio State 47-31. That was one of the more surprising stats from last night, to overcome a rough shooting performance to give Rutgers this moment and now a matchup with NCAA tournament bound for the first time in school history, I might add, Northwestern. The Northwestern Wildcats will take on Rutgers later on today. So the winner of that game will have a chance to play Maryland in the quarterfinals tomorrow. Rutgers lost both meetings this season against Northwestern. And you evaluate that game even further, though, against Ohio State. Rutgers committed just four turnovers. That's it in the second half. I always say the key to winning in this round and pound conference, that is the Big Ten, where everybody knows each other. I mean, everybody. I mean, how many times you guys know how this season has gone in the Big Ten conference? Everybody knows how each other likes to play, and it makes it competitive. It makes it a conference with a ton of parity, but it makes it tough for guys like me who cover the Big Ten conference to try and get a read on who is for real. Right? It really is. It really is tough. And I think right now, I think the general consensus is Purdue. But heck, we saw Michigan give it to Purdue earlier this year, right? I mean, we've seen some shocking losses when it comes to the Purdue Boilermakers as well. Just so tough to get a read on this conference. But so it comes down to the little things. If you want to win the Big Ten tourney, it comes down to turnovers. It comes down to rebounding. It comes down to the little things if you want to have a deep run come Big Ten Conference tourney time. So Rutgers committing just 4 turnovers in the second half was key. Holding Ohio State to without a field goal for the final almost 6 minutes of the game, 5 minutes and 43 seconds to be exact, that was key. And also Rutgers, 13 of 19 from the charity stripe. That is what you have to do if you want to win this time of the year. In Ohio State, what an odd day for the Ohio State Buckeyes as well. Because get this, just a few moments before Ohio State played Rutgers yesterday, on the heels of a report from Yahoo's Pat Ford, it was announced that Thad Matta, head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes men's basketball team, would return for the 2017-18 season. AD Gene Smith confirmed that news and actually released a statement detailing his report for Matta, who has won more games than any other coach in that school's men's basketball program history. This is what the statement read. Quote, recently Thad and I had a great discussion regarding the future of our men's basketball program. Thad's record at Ohio State is an outstanding 337 and 122, a winning percentage of 734. He is the all-time wins leader and owns the record for most games coached at Ohio State. His teams have won five Big Ten titles and made 9 NCAA postseason appearances. What Thad's teams at Ohio State have accomplished, both on and off the court, is highly commendable. He went on to say, quote, we have had tremendous success with Thad as our basketball coach. His commitment to developing young men in a holistic way and running our program with the highest of integrity continue to be the hallmarks of his leadership, end quote. Again, that was a statement detailing the support of Thad Matta from Ohio State's AD Gene Smith. Again, just hours before Ohio State's opening round game yesterday against Rutgers in the Big Ten tournament. As you can imagine, Ohio State losing to Big Ten bottom feeder Rutgers later that night, that did not sit too well with Buckeye fans. Yeah, Ohio State, you know, coming in as a team that, of course, needed to run the table and win the Big Ten tournament if it wanted to make the big dance, needing to win 5 straight games, right? I can only imagine how the Buckeye fan base felt after, well, I should say prior to that game. You know, the statement comes out from Smith, Ohio State AD, supporting Thad Matta, and then Thad and his team loses to lowly Rutgers. Timing could not have been worse, right? So, hey, we'll see. And I think that now it's you can put Thad Matta on the hot seat as Ohio State now will miss the tourney for a second straight year. I had to say that because usually we are talking about the Buckeyes in the big dance, right? So we'll see what takes place. But what even makes this situation more odd yesterday is that on that same day that the news was spreading about Thad returning as the head men's basketball coach, it was revealed that former NFL player Ray Rice, you guys know Ray Rice, right? Former Ravens running back who has not played in the NFL since the 2013 season after being videotaped punching his fiance and knocking her unconscious with a brutal punch in an elevator. Ray Rice spoke to the Ohio State football team yesterday. How about that? There's also a video of that that went viral. The Ohio State football Twitter account took some video of Ray Rice talking to the team, which I think, you know, I think Ray Rice, you know, he's come out and since apologized. You know, his fiance is now his wife. And I do think that situation and that incident made a profound impact on Ray Rice. And I think I do believe that he is a changed man. But, hey, that's just my opinion. But, you know, it's such an odd day, given that also yesterday, and I didn't know this until later at night yesterday, Wednesday was International Women's Day. And you have Ray Rice talk to your team on International Women's Day. So, and I'm sure the message from Ray Rice to the Ohio State football team was one of recounting what went wrong during that time when he was videoed punching his fiance. I mean, that video is just so in your face and riveting still to this day. That's odd, though, isn't it? You know, you announce Thad as your head coach for next year's basketball year. On that same day, you lose to Rutgers. And then you have Ray Rice speaking to the Ohio State football team. Not a slow day if you are a sports beat writer in Buckeye territory. Interesting stuff there. And speaking of Ray Rice, in just a moment, after we hit our first break here, I want to have a conversation centered on the Detroit Lions. A story that we entered our show with yesterday. The Lions GM, Bob Quinn, is one of a few teams that met with former Oklahoma running back Joe Mixon. Mixon has also had troubles away from the gridiron. You guys know that a video was released last year showing Mixon punching a female and knocking her unconscious. It was a story that also garnered a ton of attention, and justifiably so, and one that kept Mixon out of this year's NFL Combine, which wrapped up this past weekend out in Indianapolis, Indiana. Mixon, along with a few other players, with histories of arrest. And Lions general manager Bob Quinn came out and said, I don't think that was right. I think that Mixon should at least have gotten an invite for us to meet with him and pick his brain so that we could possibly see where his headspace is and maybe possibly draft him in this year's upcoming NFL draft. That is a story that is also getting a lot of traction, and I want to chat about that briefly after our first break. Again, I'm seeing here, again, I'm crossing my fingers on this. And, I just got confirmation here. Drew Henderson is filling in for Isaac Constance. Also, big shout out to our fantastic team here at WKAR as we have had Drew Hill, Brad Walker, and now for the next 2 days, Drew Henderson filling in for Isaac Constance, who's on vacay right now on spring break out in New Orleans catching some rays. They're doing a great job, but I chatted with Drew before we took the airwaves, crossing my fingers, hoping to get Jay Sarkar of WLNS TV6. Jay, of course, is the weekend sports anchor and reporter at Channel 6 News here in the area. He's out in Washington, D.C., following both the Wolverines and Spartans at the Big Ten tournament. And just getting confirmation from Jay that he is having some technical difficulties that him and his photographer needs to fix before the Michigan State game. So he cannot join us on the show. I'm going to try to convince him maybe to steal just 5 minutes out in Washington. We'll see how that works. I'll see if I can get him, but right now it's not looking too good. But we still have a ton of discussion on the show. Again, we are taking your calls. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. Second half has just began. Michigan has a 43-34 lead over the Fighting Illini. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, again, I'll address this Joe Mixon story. And we will also have Throwback Thursday for you, an interesting hip-hop twist to it, okay? Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
Oh. I like that. You like that?
Here's another one.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Ah, the great Biggie Smalls. Ah, yeah, yeah. Let that ride for a little bit, Drew. Yeah. Yeah, Biggie Smalls, folks. You guys know that I love to bridge pop culture with sports. I think there's a direct correlation in many ways, especially when you talk about hip-hop culture and today's athletes. And Biggie Smalls is one of my favorite, not athletes of all time, artists of all time. And you guys know I'm a big hip-hop head. And in just a moment, on our customary Throwback Thursday segment here, where we take a look at what exactly happened on this particular date in sports. Well, it's a sombering day for many hip-hop fans out there, seeing as though on this day, back in 1997, the great Biggie Smalls was shot and killed. And I always think about, you know, there are two names that instantly come to mind when you talk about the greatest hip-hop artist to ever rock the mic. Those two artists being Mr. Tupac Shakur and Biggie Smalls. And it's such an interesting dynamic. It's been well documented in documentaries and in books, and there's a new movie that actually is going to come out detailing the life of Tupac Shakur, and there's already been a movie that has come out detailing the life of Biggie Smalls. But those two, who used to be really good friends, a lot of people forget that. Biggie Smalls and Tupac were really good friends. But things went south pretty quickly. So we will remember Biggie Smalls later on in this show. And Drew, you're a big music fan, and I have to ask, Drew, because, you know, we've had conversations just roaming the halls here at WKAR. I remember, actually, I'll never forget this conversation, when we talked about Janet Jackson. You got to see Janet Jackson in concert. You're a big music guy, so I'm curious. Do you enjoy hip hop at all?
Yeah. I mean, I grew up in the 90s, man. So that I think that was the golden age of hip hop. You know, when they were taking all those old school R&B hits and sampling them. I mean, I had an 87 Rusty Bonneville. I put two 15-inch subwoofers in the back, and that's just what we listened to.
Right, exactly. So I have to ask, Drew, do you remember where you were when you heard the news that Biggie had been shot? Or where you were when you heard that Tupac Shakur was shot and killed?
I don't remember exactly where I was, but I can tell you that I remember seeing the news on MTV, you know, Kurt Loder, MTV. Remember MTV News? Does anybody remember MTV News?
I know,
News?
Right? They you know, it's so crazy because now MTV and VH1, they've, like, totally gone away from music now. It's all reality shows. But yep. I do remember those times when they actually talked about music, yeah.
Yeah, I seem to remember the Tupac Shakur incident murder, you know, more than the Biggie Smalls murder. It was like, wow, you know, this is real and this is happening. And, you know, I didn't grow up in the city. I grew up in a rural area, but that was the stuff that, you know, we listened to.
Exactly. So, yeah. And they certainly, and I always wonder, and this is another thing that always comes to mind when I have this conversation, where hip hop would be if Tupac and Biggie were still alive. Because now I just think, you know, now I must say, even though I'm a big hip hop fan, there are only a select few artists, hip hop artists, that I can listen to today, because a lot of it, most of it, what they dub is trap music, is just totally garbage.
That's just my opinion, though. I mean, they're talking about nothing. There's no substance to it. And artists like J. Cole, Odyssey, Kendrick Lamar, Talib Kweli, Common, those artists just don't get a lot of radio play on the radio.
And just musically, they're interesting too. Not only, you know, the rap or, you know, the words that they put in, but musically, I just love that kind of smooth, basically smooth jazz.
Exactly.
A lot of those songs were used in smooth smooth jazz versions out of them, even though they were sampled from something earlier on. Case in point, the Jermaine Dupri song, So Four Lanes. Money Ain't a Thing. I got to go through it.
Money Ain't a Thing. Yeah,
there is
course,
a smooth
yeah.
jazz version of that, believe it or not.
What? Are you kidding me,
no,
Drew?
No, not kidding
I need to do some Googling after we get off the airwaves mm-hmm. today. Look at you, Drew. You know your music, my man.
Well, I used to run a smooth jazz station here in town. I don't know if you remember 92.9 when it was smooth jazz.
I do, and I used to occasionally listen to that.
Yep, yeah. When we signed it on in 2005, that was me that did the behind-the-scenes stuff for it.
How about that? Look at Drew preaching, man, educating myself on some music, my friend. And yeah, I remember that. That was during the days of Mace as well and P. Diddy and So we'll remember Biggie and actually we'll roll in a report that detailed the life of Biggie Smalls and that interesting dynamic that he had and relationship that he had with Tupac Shakur. Moving along, quick update. Again, we're following this game throughout the hour here on WKAR's Current Sports. And right now, the Michigan Wolverines have a 50-36 lead over Illinois with 13:55 left in the second half. And we detailed this, and I gave brief comments concerning the Michigan Wolverines men's basketball team heading into this tournament. Again, this is a team that, you know, just yesterday around this time was trying to deal with, you know, almost what could have been a major catastrophe with its plane running off the runway and now having to play a basketball game and possibly using that as some motivation. But, you know, I tell a bit on yesterday's show the Big Ten tournament and how I believe that Michigan is slow, just far too low in this year's tourney. I mean, if you look at things, you know, this is a Michigan team that, again, beat Big Ten top dog Purdue. Pretty impressive win, too. A double-digit win at that against the Purdue Boilermakers. And, you know, they're listed as an 8 seed. And, you know, you look at the Fighting Illini, which has missed the last three NCAA tournaments under John Gross, last dancing in 2013. But, you know, number 8, Michigan's way too low. The Wolverines, dangerous, I believe, because primarily of senior point guard Derek Walton Jr. You know, I mentioned yesterday how he is the only player in school history with 1,000 points, 500 rebounds, 400 assists in his Michigan career. Then you look at the supporting cast around Derek Walton. Guys like Zach Irvin, Moritz Wagner, who has been great this year, DJ Wilson, Muhammad Ali Abdur Rahman, and also Duncan Robinson, who's been great. So you look at that cast, and Michigan is a shooting team. When they are shooting well, they are on. When they are on, folks. But when they're off, they're off. They are primarily a shooting team. But again, you look at the resume for the Wolverines, a team that, you know, I believe regardless of what the outcome here against Illinois is, the Wolverines are in the NCAA tournament. I mean, you beat number 1 Purdue 82-70 late in the year. That's going to get you in. Dangerous team that went 6-2 in its last 8 games with losses coming at Minnesota and Northwestern. Right now, it's all about riding momentum for the Wolverines. So if they can get a win or two here in the Big Ten tournament, that's going to do wonders for them come NCAA seeding time. Right now, they are listed as a 9 seed in multiple bracket projections out there. And hey, who knows how this run could be for Michigan. I could see the Michigan Wolverines, honestly. We could possibly be tuning into the Wolverines on Sunday. I believe this team has that kind of potential. Only time will tell, though. And again, the winner of this matchup, we'll move on to play, ding, 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 you guessed it, Purdue, which is so hoping that the Wolverines win, I'm sure, because they are foaming at the mouth to possibly get some revenge in the quarterfinals tomorrow at noon. So we'll see how that one pans out. And right now, again, the Wolverines giving it to Illinois a 54-36 lead with 13-19, excuse me, left to play in that matchup. So the Spartans will take the hardwood moments after the dust settles on that game. Penn State, Michigan State. And a lot of folks believe, it's so funny talking with Spartan fans out there, because there are a lot of Michigan State fans that are a bit nervous right now, because Michigan State closing out the year, two straight losses. A lot of folks aren't buying that Michigan State is solidly in the big dance. And I get it. Two straight. Heck, if Michigan State loses against Penn State today, if they do make the tourney, they're going in losing three straight games. Momentum is everything around this time of the year. So how will the committee, if Michigan State loses this afternoon, how will the committee look upon the Spartans? And we've profiled this. Tom Izzo had his press conference, weekly press conference, previewing the Big Ten men's basketball tourney earlier this week. And he said, hey, look at our resume. Look at the teams we have played. Six top 50 wins, a 2-6 mark against the RPI top 25, which isn't great. But the fact that Michigan State would even schedule Kentucky, Arizona, and Duke, I mean, that's got to count for something, right? That's got to count for something. That's basically what Tom Izzo was saying here. What about the countless teams out there that have scheduled lollipops in the non-conference schedule? Heck, if you put in a team like Syracuse, have you looked at Syracuse's non-conference schedule? I won't even go down that road when it comes to the Orangemen. Now, Syracuse, yeah, they did beat Duke. A great game, by the way. Buzzer-beating three-pointer, right? That was replayed countless times on ESPN. But if you put in the Cuse, you got to put in a team like Michigan State, right? You have to. And that's basically the calling card that Tom Izzo had earlier this week. So, well, we'll see. But many Spartan fans still, and again, you don't know, it's a committee here. And I think it is going to help, seeing as though Mark Hollis, Michigan State AD, is the chair of the committee this year. And you better believe Tom Izzo, now the dubbed Hall of Fame head coach, that holds a lot of weight. Tom Izzo's name alone holds a lot of weight. I think they're in already, but it amazes me how many Spartan fans still are a bit wary. Again, if they lose three straight, how can they get in? I just don't see many teams out there that can pass Michigan State. Again, coupled with the fact that Michigan State played such a tough schedule. So let's dive into this matchup. Again, the number 5 Michigan State Spartans taking on number 13 Penn State Nittany Lions, approximately 2:30 p.m. That game will more realistically happen around closer to 3 p.m. Michigan State will get a chance at revenge today. If we rewind the clock back to earlier this season, Michigan State lost to Penn State, trying to avenge one of its worst losses of the season, actually. The Nittany Lions beating the Spartans back in January, neutral court game, even though it realistically it wasn't, back in Philly at the Palestra, the famed Palestra, one of the most famous college basketball venues ever. And in Penn State, which was a fun game, by the way. Penn State fans came out and supported the Nittany Lions in that game. And, you know, you really fans sitting really on top of the court. Well, great atmosphere. So Michigan State losing that game. Michigan State is embracing this matchup. You better believe that. Penn State needed an overtime win to get past Nebraska yesterday in that opening round, and will need to get right back up if they want to pull the upset today. Nick Ward is the key for me. That's the player I am going to be keyed in on and watching, because Nick, far too often, even though he's a great talent, and by the way, it was an absolute crime how the Big Ten did not name that brother to the all-freshman team. That's another spiel I want to get on later on. Probably I'll save that for my Reflection Friday segment tomorrow. But Nick Ward, if Nick Ward can avoid early foul trouble, he is going to be a handful for the Nittany Lions. He is my guy. He is the guy I will be looking at this afternoon to have a big game. Because just imagine, I mean, Nick Ward goes out there and gives you these remarkable performances on limited time due to early foul trouble. Just imagine if Nick Ward was able to play the entire game, not having early foul trouble, not having to ride the bench for the majority of the second half of the first half. Just imagine what this kid could do. So I want to know your thoughts and predictions on this game. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Drew, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we have less than 10 minutes in the show. I want to dive into Throwback Thursday. We'll play that remembrance of, yeah, you hear, the famed Biggie Smalls, that and more. Don't go anywhere.
I like this.
Yeah. Hush, I know you see me on the video.
True.
I know you heard me on the radio.
True.
But you still don't pay me no attention. Listening to what your girlfriend's mention.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Again, an update on the Michigan and Illinois game. 54-38, the Wolverines coasting right now with 11:26 left in the game. It's Throwback Thursday. Where each and every Thursday here on Current Sports, we love to hop into our Current Sports time machine to take a look at what exactly happened on this particular date in sports history. Here we go. Oh, we don't have any. Okay, so we're not going to throw the Throwback Thursday music. We're gonna. I want to play a bite in just a second, Drew, of Biggie Smalls. Again, it's a catch 22 moment here on March 9th, seeing as though on this date back in 1997, Biggie Smalls unfortunately lost his life. But before I get to that, a few moments in sports I want to highlight on this day back in 18. We're going all the way back, 1864, the 26th. Grand National, George Stevens aboard the emblematic wins. How about that? That's an interesting moment. In 1895, the Stanley Cup, the Montreal Victorious were awarded the cup, I should say, as Queen's University Kingston Ant loses to Montreal AAA 5-1. In 1904, Brandon's Lester Patrick becomes the first hockey defenseman to score a goal. In 1936, the famed Babe Ruth turned down the Reds to make a comeback as a player. How about that? And in 1946, Ted Williams is offered $500,000 to play in the Mexican Baseball League, and he refused that. A lot of people don't know that that Ted Williams actually turned that moment down. All right, that's all we have in Throwback Thursday for sports moments. Again, I just want to go back in time and remember a moment that still is on the hearts and minds of many music fans out there. On this day, back in 1997, Biggie Smalls was shot and killed. Here's a report profiling and detailing the life of Biggie from ABC News back then.
Yeah, this album is dedicated to all the teachers that told me I never amount to nothing. To all the people that lived above the buildings that I was hustling for and that called the police on me.
His real name was Christopher Wallace, who in just a few years went from dealing crack on the street corners of Brooklyn to sipping champagne in a mansion in the suburbs as the rap recording artist known as Notorious B.I.G. or Biggie Smalls.
No need to worry, my accountant handles that.
He was the king of rap on the East Coast. Definitely, without a question.
Early this morning at Kennedy Airport, the body of Biggie Smalls was returned to New York from Los Angeles, where he had been shot and killed over the weekend in the latest round of violence that has plagued and sadly come to symbolize a style of music that has captivated millions of Americans, black and white.
It's a sad world where you can't even go to the other coast and go out and enjoy a party like everyone else because you think somebody's going to kill you.
Peter Thomas, a rap music promoter who was with Biggie Smalls minutes before he was killed, says it is the music itself with its inflammatory lyrics that has fueled the violence.
You're not just talking to an individual, you're talking to a complete community. And in that community, there's a lot of people that have absolutely no sense, you know, but they do have a 45.
Biggie Small's murder follows by 6 months almost to the day the remarkably similar killing in Las Vegas of Tupac Shakur, an equally big name in the world of rap music, who it turns out was a bitter rival of Biggie Smalls, and whose band, investigators believe, may have been responsible for the murder of Biggie Smalls. There was a time when Tupac and Biggie Smalls were close friends, rapping together, staying at each other's apartments. But with fame and money came jealousy, as a blood feud between Tupac and his people on the West Coast and Biggie and his people on the East Coast.
How about that, right? Detailing the relationship between those two pioneers in the world of hip-hop. Gone too soon, for sure. And Biggie, again, killed at the age of just 24. He was just 24 years old. Killed on this day back in 1997. We'll miss you, my man. Also, I see this was brought to my attention while that bite was playing. On this day back in sports history, I think these are two big moments. 1958. George Lardley of the Detroit Pistons became the first NBA player to score 2,000 points in a season. He did that in 72 games, and also back in 1980, Gordie Howe. Yeah, the great one, right? And his two sons skated in on a line together for the Hartford Whalers. In National Hockey League history was made when the event occurred about midway through the game against the Boston Bruins. What a moment that was, I'm sure. All right, folks. Well, that does it for this Thursday afternoon edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Again, quick update before we bid you all adieu. The Michigan Wolverines leading Illinois 58-44 with 8:23 left to play. We'll have a full recap on this Thursday at the Big Ten Tournament on tomorrow's Current Sports. We'll see you same time, same place. Take care. And as always, be easy, people.